Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father, for your love and your mercy. It's new to us every morning. Father, as we are in this season of Lent, we are going with this theme of remembering. And tonight, Father, we're going to look at your urging us to remember the covenant. Help us, Father, to do that. Help us, Father, to weed out those things that crop up within our hearts, that choke out, that would like to choke out the life that you give us, those things that are in our view, that cloud our vision, those things within our memories that keep us from leaning completely upon you. Father, help us to turn our hearts and our minds, our every fiber of our beings towards you, trusting in your covenant that you established with us in the waters of baptism. Father, help us to think anew about why this covenant is so special and about how you grow this relationship within us. And then finally, ultimately, Father, help us tonight to think about what it means to live in a covenant relationship with you. Father, we pray these things so that your name would be glorified and that many would come to want to know more about your Son and our Savior Jesus. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name, according to your will and for your glory, and all of God's children, we all say, amen. Amen. Our sermon text is Psalm 105, verse 8. Let me read it for us again. It says, "He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. The sermon title is Remember the Covenant. So, Kathy and I, we bought a house out in Mundelein. And it's a little bit over 20 years old, and many of the things in our house are what you would call builder grade. So I think that's a polite way of saying not really good. So like our windows, the thing that's in between the panes, you know, is falling out. I see painful nods up and down of heads in here. So that stuff is falling out. They need to be replaced. Right? The heating, the air conditioning, all the different appliances, you know, we're just looking at this onslaught of things that are going to start happening in our home. The dishwasher went on the fritz recently, and I don't know why the Germans get blamed for everything, but that was a joke. But so that then precipitated my looking around for a solution. Because I'm not an electrician, I'm not a plumber, I'm not a lot of things. And so then I found in my research that Sears has a home warranty program. It covers everything in the home for only $69 a month. I don't have a form for you to fill out, don't worry. And I thought to myself, this is great. And so I talked with the person and they said, yes, We will send somebody out in the spring to straighten out the air conditioning, and we'll send somebody in the fall to straighten out the heating, and that's all included. Any appliance, any electrical work, it's all included. And I thought, this is a man's dream, right? Something goes wrong, you just call. Well, guess what? Something did go wrong. It's called the garbage disposal. Now, the great thing about the garbage disposal is it's only about 3 feet away from the dishwasher. Exactly right. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist. I'll tell you, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but to me, it seems kind of obvious. We've already got the dishwasher guy coming out, right? So what do? You say, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Dishwasher person, as long as you're out here fixing our dishwasher, how about you step 3 feet to the right and fix the garbage disposal. Do you have any idea how many phone calls I have made in the last 2 days trying to arrange for the person who fixes our dishwasher to step 3 feet to the right, get on their knees, and fix the garbage disposal? I lost track. And guess what? It's still not lined up. Now, how happy of a customer am I? No, not real good, right? Here's the thing. Here's the point of this humorous little illustration. I honestly think that we don't treat God a whole lot better than we treat Sears. Because the fact of the matter is, now when I think about Sears, I think about, well, what's going to happen when I call? And is anything going to happen when I call? And can I trust the work that they're doing? And will they actually show up, right? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, that all too often in our walk with God, we treat God about like how we treat Sears. Yeah, I've got this problem. But if I turn it over to God, is anything going to happen? Is it going to get fixed? Can I trust? Can I wait that long? Wouldn't I just be better off taking matters into my own hands? I think I could fix this myself. The truth of the matter is, God encourages us, sermon title for today, remember the covenant. But the fact of the matter is, if we're just honest, we have to admit that we doubt God and we doubt the covenant. And you know, the prophet Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And there is nothing new under the sun, scripture says. What was true then is true today. We who are covenant children of God doubt the covenant all too often. And not only do we doubt it, but the challenge is that we live in a world full of people who deny it, who say there is no God in heaven, and you're a fool to even be thinking about this. And so God's encouragement to us to remember the covenant is so important, because then we would think about, well, what is this covenant, and why is this covenant so special? And I would submit to you there's a couple of reasons why this covenant is so special. First of all, unlike a Sears contract, there's no $69 a month fee. Amen? The whole bill got paid 2,000 years ago. And in case you're wondering, no, you don't have to pay for purgatory either. It's all covered, every last bit of it. There's no fee involved. And another reason why God's covenant is so important, such a blessing to us, is that God's covenant that he offers to us will never fail you. Oh, well, you're going to fail him, and I'm going to fail him. But his covenant relationship that he offers to you will never fail you. And that's why you don't need to get baptized 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 times. Just because you feel bad about something. Because the covenant isn't your covenant with God, it's whose covenant? It's God's covenant with us. And the covenant doesn't fail. And the Old Testament reading reminded us of something so important, that all we have to do is to turn and to trust and to ask God for forgiveness when we mess up. That's the irony of this whole thing. Is that the only way this won't work is if we just say, no, I don't want it. I'm going to rip up this covenant. But we can't really rip it up. It's God still has a covenant with us, and he wants us in this relationship, and he is going to work till our last breath to make sure that we're right. This covenant never fails us. But I think, you know, maybe perhaps the most beautiful thing about this covenant is those words from Psalm 105, verse 8. Where it says that God will never forget his covenant. I don't know about you, but I find myself forgetting stuff all the time. And most of the time, it's unintentional that I forget it. Sometimes, maybe not. But you know, I think as I get older, I kind of forget things, and I kind of rearrange things in my mind. But we have a Father in heaven. We worship a God who does not forget. He does not forget his covenant relationship with us. He doesn't need to have a post-it note to remind him, this is my daughter, this is my son. He never forgets his covenant with us. How does this covenant come into being? This covenant that we're talking about. For you and I, it came into being most likely in the waters of our baptism. God brought us into this covenant in the waters of our baptism, but then he wanted us to grow in our relationship with him. And so what did he do? He fed us through the word, through communion, through prayer, through confession and absolution, through the priesthood of the baptized. Because he wants us to grow. He wants this covenant to be a living relationship. He wants it to be what we think about when we wake up and when we lay down. He wants it to be on our hearts and on our minds. We have a wonderful mission statement as a church, that we're going to glorify God by spreading the gospel through doing three things. We know what those are. Through our preaching, through our teaching, and through living our daily lives. And, you know, I think sometimes we ask ourselves, well, what does that mean to live our daily lives? Well, let's think about that. What does that mean to live our daily life in remembering the covenant? And I would submit to you that living in the covenant that God has given to us, what that looks like to us is two very simple things. One is forgiveness. That's what this relationship means, that you are a forgiven son or daughter of God. That's who you are before him. That whatever you did or didn't do, it's been washed away in the blood of the Lamb. That's what it means to be in this covenant, to be forgiven of all these things. When our own memories won't allow us to feel good, know that you've been forgiven. And then the second thing that I think that living in this covenant relationship means is it means freedom. Galatians 5 verse 1 is one of my favorite verses. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I have an incredible amount of freedom as Christians. So many times people want to know, am I doing what God wants me to do? If I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do before, but it didn't work out. So then, gosh, that must mean I wasn't listening to God. I didn't hear God's voice right. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let me ask you a question. Did it always work out for Jesus? No. Did it always work out for the apostles? No. Did it always work out for your grandmother? No. And yet, all of these people were faithful, and you are faithful. We're living within the freedom that Christ has given. This is what it means to be in a covenant relationship. We have a tremendous amount of freedom. And some things are going to work, and some things are not going to work. But when we remember that all of this is done in the freedom that Christ established, the boundaries that he provides for us, then when they work and when they don't work, who do we have our mind and our heart set upon? Upon our Father in heaven. Amen? That is what God wants from us tonight. To remember the covenant. Amen? Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep all of our hearts and all of our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please.